As Ford gazed at the spectacle of light before them, excitement burned inside him. But only the excitement of seeing a strange new planet. It was enough for him to see it as it was. It faintly irritated him that Zaphod had to impose some ludicrous fantasy onto the scene to make it work for him. All this Magrathea nonsense seemed juvenile. Isn't it enough to see that a garden is beautiful, without having to believe that there are fairies at the bottom of it too? All this Magrathea business seemed totally incomprehensible to Arthur. He edged up to Trillian and asked her what was going on. "I only know what Zaphod's told me," she whispered. "Apparently, Magrathea is some kind of legend from way back which no one seriously believes in. Bit like Atlantis on Earth, except that the legends say the Magratheans used to manufacture planets." Arthur blinked at the screens and felt he was missing something important. Suddenly, he realized what it was. "Is there any tea on this spaceship?" he asked. More of the planet was unfolding beneath them as the Heart of Gold streaked along its orbital path. The suns now stood high in the black sky, the pyrotechnics of dawn were over, and the surface of the planet appeared bleak and forbidding in the common light of day. Grey, dusty, and only dimly contoured. It looked dead and cold as a crypt. From time to time, promising features would appear on the distant horizon, ravines, maybe mountains, maybe even cities, but as they approached, the lines would soften and blur into anonymity, and nothing would transpire. The planet's surface was blurred by time, by the slow movement of the thin, stagnant air that had crept across it for century upon century. Clearly, it was very, very old. A moment of doubt came to Ford as he watched the grey landscape move beneath them. The immensity of time worried him. He could feel it as a presence. He cleared his throat. "Well, I'm even supposing it is." "It is," said Zaphod. "Which it isn't," continued Ford. "What do you want with it, anyway? There's nothing there." "Not on the surface," said Zaphod. "All right, just supposing there's something. I take it you're not here for the sheer industrial archaeology of it all. What are you after?" One of Zaphod's heads looked away. The other one looked round to see what the first was looking at, but it wasn't looking at anything very much. "Well," said Zaphod airily, "it's partly the curiosity, partly a sense of adventure, but mostly, I think, it's the fame and the money." Ford glanced at him sharply. He got a very strong impression that Zaphod hadn't the faintest idea why he was there at all. "You know, I don't like the look of that planet at all," said Trillian, shivering. "I'll take the notice," said Zaphod. "With half the wealth of the former galactic empire stored on it somewhere, it can afford to look frumpy." Bullshit, thought Ford. Even supposing this was the home of some ancient civilization now gone to dust, even supposing a number of exceedingly unlikely things, there was no way that vast treasures of wealth were going to be stored there in any form that would still have meaning now. He shrugged. "I think it's just a dead planet," he said. "The suspense is killing me," said Arthur testily. Stress and nervous tension are now serious social problems in all parts of the galaxy, and it is in order that this situation should not be in any way exacerbated that the following facts will now be revealed in advance. The planet in question is, in fact, the legendary Magrathea. The deadly missile attack, shortly to be launched by an ancient automatic defense system, will result merely in the breakage of 3 coffee cups and a mouse cage, the bruising of somebody's upper arm, and the untimely creation and sudden demise of a bowl of petunias and an innocent sperm whale. In order that some sense of mystery should still be preserved, no revelation will yet be made concerning whose upper arm sustains the bruise. This fact may safely be made the subject of suspense, since it is of no significance whatsoever.